up on you.
How are we gonna restore 15 to 20 million jobs? I am your future.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We are national leaders.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM. As you know, we serve southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, and northern Delaware on the radio. However, people from all over the USA are tuning in simply by logging on to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link. Now, you can do that every Wednesday between 11 and 12. And of course, after the broadcast, we have our rebroadcasts up 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Same place, AmericanWorkersRadio.com. At that time, you click on the Listen Anytime link. Well, there's a lot of things been going on and a lot of good things, although you would not know that through the national media, but there's a lot of things that are going on. People are beginning to talk more about good things to help America, American workers. The news media continues to play down everything, and they want to make you think that the world is flat, the whole deal. However, this is not what we're trying to do, and we're going to discuss that very nicely today. And I would like to say a very special thank you to the people that help make our broadcast a great success. They include Mark Andel, the founder of the Made in America store. Now, as you know, his link is right there on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com. Mark also has a radio show, and it's right there under that logo for Made in America store. Also is Larkin Conley, National Small Business Advocate, Rich Logis, Principal of RJL Technology Integration. Our engineer is Henry Chaplinsky, and I'm Michael Blihash. Always pleased to hear from you in my travels through email or however you would like to send me a note or whatever through email. Just go on to michael@AmericanWorkersRadio.com. Well, it's often said that American Workers Radio offers solutions to the unfortunate loss of 70,000 businesses that moved out of America to other countries around the world. That solution, people are getting that message. It's very simple. Buy American-made products, take advantage of American services, and also support local businesses. And we know many of the local businesses are featuring foreign products at this time. But the more we get things moving back here in the USA, the more those local stores will have to feature American made. Also, we thank you, and everybody is saying that they are spreading the word to their family and friends, which is probably the best thing that you can do at any point in the day. If someone calls you, you see someone, you're in a store, make sure you let them know that you are an American-made supporter. Simply doing business the way it's been done for the last 35 plus years is not going to bring back industries that left America. We have to support those businesses by going out of our way to support the products as that they have, so that the manufacturers will expand more of what they're doing. Maybe they can go into more lines of products. Maybe more businesses will come back and get here. And so our store shelves will offer a 50-50 balance. That's really our entire message, getting back to a 50-50 balance. I will take a lot of time in my life to make it known that people should support the country where they live and the people that they live with. That's the most important thing. Mark Andel's been promoting that through the Made in America store for the last 11 years, and I congratulate him for all of his efforts. It's time for each one of us to work real hard to change the reality of the past. Anyone that knows me knows that I'll look for, ask for, and I'll make it a point to support American-made products. This week, I did that too. Rich is going to ask. Well, I did that. I bought American-made tires. I had my car inspected. I did everything that I said. And the people behind the counter said, yeah, more and more people are looking for American-made at the dealership. And I was really pleased to hear that. And is there something all of us can do on our own? Absolutely. That spend our money, our hard-earned dollars. We don't need any national leader or local leader or somebody to tell us what to do with our money. We're the boss of how we spend our hard-earned dollars. Simply talking about what's wrong is just words, but making suggestions for positive action is really not a waste of time, especially when the person asking the question feels good about the cause that they're supporting. And by the way, supporters of the Buy American Made campaign know that employment opportunities for everyone in this country has been the main goal of this radio broadcast, the Buy American Made campaign, and everything that we have been doing for over 20 years. As a result of what our message is, and we're not doing it through the national media, but the national media should take a little bit of example from us. As a result of what we're doing, sharing ideas, concerns, and experiences, people are starting to go out of their way to pick up products, talk to store personnel, and we are seeing more and more manufacturers interested in putting their products on the shelf. With that in mind, I'm going to turn to a person who knows more about what's on the store shelves and places where he goes, and that's Mark Andel. How you doing, Mark?
Good, Mike. How are you? And I think Larkin's on board, and Rich, good morning, and Henry, always good morning. And always have to thank Henry for making us sound good. But, Mike, a lot going on in these unprecedented times, you know, again, the fallout of the pandemic and things changing. Just watching the news a little bit, world news last night, you've got wear a mask, have the vaccine, don't have the vaccine's not working. So you got all these things, and I watched only 15 minutes. I said, okay, I'm confused enough. But, you know, what's real and not confusing is buying made in America, like you said. And, you know, after all the talk, we talk about rapid inflation, we talk about product shortage, it's all around us. I like that in educating people, Mike, but you know what, at the end of the day, you got to figure out a way to pivot, get around it, reinvent yourself, and figure it out, because this is the brutal fact of the current reality. And you've got to stay positive. And, you know, I had a good team meetings, and even over the weekend we did some thinking, and you just have to somehow stay positive in all this craziness and these different times and somehow try to make these businesses work and find ways to bring in sales and adjust to it. And I think buying American is more important than ever. I think we make it more available than anybody else at the Made in America stores or madeinamericastore.com. And we are in a groove right now. We've got the Erie County Fair, which is just about the largest county fair in the country. So about 1.2 million people come through the gates in 12 days. It starts in a week and a half, Mike, actually 2 weeks from today, to be honest with you. And we are ready. We've been loading it every day already. We went in 3 weeks early. We usually do it 2 days before. And, you know, all our vendors we deal with, we've got 10,000 products. We support 500 privately owned American vendors, not one publicly traded company, but all of them stepped up to the plate, even with the product shortage, the rapid inflation. They all gave us and got us the product. Almost all our product is in already, Mike, which is outstanding in these times. And they all supported us. We told them what we're up against. This big show is coming up. They've got 100% rights to open the show at 100% capacity at this point. And there's less vendors than ever. A lot of logistics change for these carnies because the chain since January, there wasn't openings in the different laws going on around the country, so a lot of carnies couldn't make it and whatnot, but we're ready, and the point is the vendors were there. We have vendor days. Each vendor is going to own a day, and they gave us products to give away for that day. We got my team. We're just using all the technology we've got, all the what we've learned through the years. We're trying to make it the best show we've ever had to give us the most sales we've ever had. So I'm talking about that because that's positive. All the vendors involved with the fair stepped up for us and have our back. So that's what's neat with working with American vendors too, Mike. They become friends like me and you. You have a relationship, and they feel for you. And when you get a pulse from them, and they feel where you are. They want to help us grow their products and grow our mission. So that's some positive news, I think, with what's coming up.
You know, Mark, you are the positive voice of that entire area up there. I have to tell you, I'd like to see, and I'd like you to report to us, how the mass media is going to be covering that fair. If anything, they should be doing is getting the people out for this positive event, because people want to come out. And if you have less vendors, well, that's the way life is. But all of you have to be prepared to do more.
And, Mike, I want to talk, you know, my other radio show, there's no one better than yours, but I do have that other show. I had as a guest Jessica Underberg. She runs the Erie County Fair, which has been around well over 100 years. And they're tied with James E. Strait and James E. Strait Amusement Rides and whatnot. It's the longest fair connection in the world between an organization and James E. Strait, the Carnival Amusement Rides, over 90 years. And they own their own train system, which comes from Florida, somewhere between Rich and Larkin. And James E. Strait pulls out usually in January with their own train loaded with their rides. But this year they couldn't do that. The first time in their history they can't use their own train and bring it into Erie County, New York, our western New York area, which everybody waits for. Because it's interesting, because they didn't know what shows were going to happen. So they go state to state, right? Everything's planned logistically for 7 months. They're on the road. Well, this is the first year they actually couldn't, because they couldn't connect the states with the shows not being open. So they're going to bring it by road, over the road by tractor trailers. So that's changed. And also having Jessica on, head of the Erie County Fair, is connected with all the fairs in the country. The word is the fairs are busy. People want to get out. They want to do things, Mike, but there's less vendors than ever because some of the vendors went out of business. Some can't run their store or their restaurant and be at a fair or carnival because they don't have the people, and the worker shortage has affected that. But I think generally people are getting out. The vendors that are at these fairs are doing well because there's fewer of them. So we're banking on all this. I don't go into the fair to lose. We're going in it to win, and we're going there to take the movement to another level. With all our social media, we're pushing everything we can. So all positive, a lot of change, but just like these carnies that run these carnivals, they're very good at change, and boy, do they adjust up.
Let me ask you a question, Mark. As the last fairs that you were in, I guess that was 2019.
Yes.
How was the media? Did they follow you? Did they urge the people to come out? Did they cover the fair the way they should?
You know, we, 2 years ago, well, 3 years ago now, we came up with this flag retreat ceremony at the Erie County Fair. What it is, every night at 6:30, we honor a veteran, somebody that served World War II, Vietnam, Korea. And they have a complete ceremony, you'd love it, Mike, with a band. And we present them, we give them the flag, and it's on us. It's a 5x8 flag sewn and stitched in the United States of America. And they fold it in front of them. It's about a half-hour ceremony. And this fair, when we came up and said we'd be the sponsor of this and help them with the program, I just want to say, you know, it put tears in everybody's eyes there, and it took us to a different level with the fair board, because they know they have Veterans Day and whatnot, but they didn't know really when you pick and select one person to be honored that night and each night of the 12 days, what that means, and they all got touched by this, and we are the sponsor of that, the flag retreat ceremony, and I think every fair in the country should do the same thing.
You, Mark, you took the words out of my mouth. Everybody should be doing this. Every level of the news media should be following you around, not looking for the negative news of what took place that day, but the positive news. As you said in the beginning, we need to hear positive things.
Yeah, and you know, Mike, talking with my team, Cheryl, my sister's been with me 31 years, Rich, brother, 32 years. You know, these are tough times. We've been through 05, 06, 07 when I started the stores. We went from a $12 million business to a $5 million business pretty well overnight with that recession. Laid off 40 of my 70 employees. We got hit hard, right? We built it back up from 09, 010. We built it back up 2016. We get our legs knocked out again. No oil, mining work, and no military work. And it was a tough, before Trump got elected, it was a tough, tough time in this country. They didn't admit it. But now we get the pandemic and the fallout of the pandemic and an administration change, which really affected my military work and oil mining. So we're in a tough spot, but we've got to somehow be creative enough. And Mike, I'm going more on the positive now, because the negative, you turn the news on 15 minutes, you know, you want to grab a box of Kleenex and get ready to jump off the falls up here.
Absolutely. You know, people tell me, being in human services, they say, Michael, I hate to watch the news. I said, well, then don't watch it. Do something different.
Exactly.
Forget about it. I said, you know, I try to stay away from it as much as possible. You know, Mark, every day there's modern technology that's making it more possible for products to once to be again be made here competitively in the United States. They had a few people meet in Northeast Philadelphia, and they're talking about trying to bring some of the buildings back to life. And of course, they want commitments that they're not going to be overtaxed to death. They want the roads fixed up so that they can do business and look good while they're doing business. And, you know, more and more people in business, industries, academia, and government, and even individuals are starting to talk more and more about what are we going to do to rise up from the ashes that we ourselves allow to take place.
Yeah, and Mike, the disconnect, we're in different worlds, Washington and us average people and business owners. We've got it. That's the other thing I text Rich real quick. What should we talk about? How do we start uniting people? How do we get the sides to start going in a similar direction and face the common sense needs of the country? So many selfish people, so many politicians just about their self. We the people, it all comes down to. And I think just a great start is going out today, making sure you purchase Made in America products, making sure you support the country you live in, the country that people fought and died for, and that flag that flies. That's all you need to do, Mike. It's pretty simple. And treat people like you want to be treated. Can't get simpler than that.
You're absolutely right. You know, Mark, if we could just reach our goal, 50% of everything on every store shelf, America would have plenty jobs. No one would be complaining.
Mike,
poverty would be reduced, but we don't have that level. When you look at, and I go to the stores, and some stores, they want to, you know, hit the roof when they see me come in, because I take the time to look at all the products. In fact, a store personnel will come over and say, is there something I can help you with? Especially if it's a new person. And I say, yes, I'm looking for American Made. And they look in amazement, like, what am I talking about? Isn't everything American Made? A lot of these young people have no idea what's going on around them.
And Mike, remember, through the last 11 years, I've got 600-700 documented interviews. I've interviewed with the Russians. I've interviewed with South Korea. I've interviewed with Japan. I've interviewed with Vietnam. Myself, they flew in to meet me. And you know what? They all want to support the country they live in. This is common sense. 50-50 fair trade. It's okay.
Mark, while you're up there, make sure if any doctors come around, you discuss with them the need for the common sense vacuum.
We need it.
We need that so badly. Larkin, tell us what's happening, Guy.
Well, good morning. I only have one thing to say to Mark, and Mark, I can't control my crowd. That's a standing ovation.
Larkin, you're too kind.
You deserve it, my crowd. You know, I can't keep them sitting on their hands week after week, where they finally had to express some gratitude. Hey, listen, I've got a full. It's funny that you say that you talk about Washington D.C. It's not working, and I do want to talk about the death spiral that they're in. But I want to mention a couple really quick things. I'm surprised Mark didn't say anything about Muir and ABC last night. The night before last, they had a Made in America. They always do it on a Monday, and it was a company, eight people, I forget where they are located, eight people own the company. If you work for the company, you own the company. You own a part of it. That almost brought tears to my eyes. And they are taking, by donation, all of the overrun leather seat rolls from the automakers. They're just shipping them to them. Instead of throwing them in a dumpster, they're shipping them to these people. And this little firm is making items for the inside of your car that give it the new car smell. I had to laugh a little bit about it, but I thought, how ingenious. Who thought of this?
I saw that, Larkin.
I did not see that.
I did see it, yes.
David Muir did this story, Made in America, Bought in America. He did the story. The next day, last night, he said, I'm sorry, I got to finish the news again with this company that's making has invented the new car. You can buy the new car smell. They were overwhelmed with orders from that story on that Muir did. He said, we got to go out and hire people. We got to hire more partners. I don't know. I think David Muir does so much for this country and especially for our movement. Also wanted to mention Joe Biden. He's going out today to talk about Made in America, but he's not going to talk about Made in America. Did you know that, Mark? He's not talking about it. I want to talk about Made in America right now. Here's what I want to talk about. Buy American made. That's the headline on his speech. Buy American made. And if people keep on demanding American made, maybe somebody will go out there and rebuild our infrastructure and our supply chain, and we can start getting back in the manufacturing business. But that's going to take a long time. Now I've got to refer to a long conversation that I had with my dear friend Bruce Bassett Powell in Texas. And we spoke about how to save America from this partisan death spiral that it's in. And neither one of us can argue that that we aren't in this death spiral. Nancy Pelosi had no right whatsoever to exclude the people that were picked by the minority party to sit on her investigation committee. First time it's ever happened in the history of the country, ever. You cannot take complete control of the narrative. I'm sorry. You've got control of the narrative by virtue of the fact that you are in the majority. But when minority gets an opportunity to put two people on, or actually they're supposed to put three people on, but Miss Pelosi already selected the fine congresswoman whose name escapes me because I wanted to. but at any rate, we talked about it for a rather lengthy part. We talked about it from Bunnell, Florida, to me driving home. So that's about an hour to drive. And my dear friend Bruce does such a great job of keeping me awake on these long rides. But I think we ultimately decided that there are two things probably that are going to change this death spiral, and only two things. I mean, you stop and think, the majority leader in the Senate, almost 80. The president, almost 80. The Speaker of the House, almost 80. The Speaker of the House is 80. This is wrong. This is very, very wrong. So I think our determination was the number one thing that will correct this, our term limits. We've got to start flipping people. We've got to start getting the pedestrian part of our society in Washington to make decisions and to think about what's best for this country. We have to get away from this hatred mm-hmm. that exists between Schumer and McConnell. I mean, when Schumer talks about Republicans, it's with a high level of hatred. I mean, he's a bad, bad man. Sorry. When McConnell talks, he represents his side, and his side might be a little shady at times, and it's my side, and that's still another another issue that I want to take up. You might hear from me next week tell you I am no longer a Democrat. They either get themselves together or I'm going to go out and become something else. After 47 years, I'll throw them to the street. It's even longer than 47 years. So, term limits, and the only other thing is we've got to develop a level of patriotism is not very popular.
Not at all.
And right now, it's not at all popular. So we have to develop a level of patriotism that will say, listen, back to my speech 3 weeks ago, there's good history and there's bad history. We are no different than anybody in the world. We have some bad history. But it's exactly that, history. It wasn't anything that I did or Mark did or Rich did or you did, Michael. We didn't make these mistakes, but it is our heritage. And, you know, we need to fix them to the best that we can. But calling names, but deciding, like, as Biden did, to instead of referring to women who have babies as mothers, he is now officially referring to them as baby delivery people or whatever. Yeah, it's just so it's so sad. What do mothers do? I just. Joe Biden.
I want to go
drinking beer with Joe Biden, but I don't think I want to do much more. I really want to go drink a beer with him and just talk about old times. But good Lord, Joe, what are you talking about? Birthing person. Why would you call the mothers of this country birthing people? Oh, my God. We've completely lost our minds.
You know, Larkin, I believe that the news media is part of the big, big problem in America. I've thought of that for years. But the problem is this. They just won't stop. They're never interested. They pretend that there's nothing going on. They pretend that I don't know about 70, 80, and 90% of the people in this country being hurt in some way because all the products went foreign. They just want to focus on what's happening there in the world of Washington, D.C. They should be there to help represent the people of the United States. They should be saying, they should be asking the question, what are the political people doing to help the American people? Not all this nonsense. I don't care about how they're fighting and this and that and any hearings, because the hearings will always go the way the people in charge want the hearings to go. And that's the way it is. The fact of the matter is, where is the time, the balance of time? Could you imagine if we could get 50% of the news media time directed to helping the American way of life, helping America's business, helping American workers, and the other 50% worried about politics? No, it's 98% political. And who cares?
Michael, what you just asked them to do won't sell wouldn't sell a birdcage covering. Yeah. I mean,
that's right.
However, they're in this thing to make money.
Larkin, you're absolutely right. And here,
circulation.
National media wants broadcasts like ours to go away so they can cater to their advertisers who are largely foreign-made companies. If you look at the advertisements on TV, you'll see that a lot of those companies are either owned or totally bringing in those products from overseas. That's very unfortunate. But that's how the news media does make its money. But if the shoe was reversed and more companies in America advertised, were able to advertise their products that are made in America, it may turn a lot of this stuff around. Nobody wants to hear all this nonsense about Nancy and this one. I'm not interested in it. What are you doing for our people in our communities all over the United States. We're supposed to be Americans. Stop already with the race, the color, the creed, the this, the that, that, that. Stop already. What are you doing for us? What are you doing to address poverty? Jobs would help address poverty. They don't want to do that. I get calls this morning. Oh, we're going to have to do this, and you're going to have representatives to do that. It's all wasting our time. Wasting time. You must do this and you must do that. What are you doing for us as political people? What are you doing? The answer is nothing. When I complain to the political people about there's too much focus on everything else but the betterment of the communities, they say, oh, well, we're just going with the news trend. How do we change that trend around?
You know, see, here's the deal. And I don't know why the press didn't cover it. But and I can't remember the congressman's name who chaired this committee yesterday. I did watch a small portion of that before I got slightly ill and turned it off. We all know what happened. And I'm not exactly sure what this committee was going to resolve. And so I thought I'd ask. And in as an answer, what I received was his opening statement, which was, we are here to discuss how it happened and to assure that it never happens again. I will promise you elements of my life that committee will do absolutely zero. Nothing.
And Larkin, I agree. I agree. But we should let that committee do all they want behind closed doors. Why does everything have to be covered?
It's a circus.
It's a circus. People are not tuning into the numbers they're thinking. I wouldn't waste my time tuning into all that negativity. I'm sorry. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't help you or me or any of your family, friends, or neighbors to hear all this negativity. I'll be honest, before I turn to Rich Loges, this is what I want to hear in the news. I want to hear how many new businesses opened in the United States.
Michael.
No. This is what I'm saying. Okay, I want to hear reports on how many new job skills are being taught in America so our youth graduate not with bills but with opportunities. I want to hear how many students graduated and were able to go right to a job that they studied for and paid for. I want to hear how many national leaders are demanding federal education dollars go out to be used for job training in America's schools. I want to know how many leaders, elected business, education, and community leaders are doing their best to look out for the future of America. Those are the things I'm looking to see if there's anything happening. And I'm sorry to say, Larkin, and I agree with you, 100%, it's not there. How is that? Now, I will tell you, if you go to Europe, they do have this kind of reporting on the television. They say, this year, so many people graduated from these institutions. So many had degrees. We are expanding technologies in our country. We are now offering people to have more jobs than ever before. People come here, they say, oh my God, everything is crime, 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 complaining, complaining, complaining. Period. Dr. Rich Loges, how are you doing?
Well, good morning, Michael, and Mark, and Larkin, and Henry, and our listeners. So, I don't think I'm in disagreement with Larkin, with what he's referring to with his discussion with Bruce. I'm sorry for my voice today if I sound like Ben Stein in Ferris Bueller's Day Off. I'm a little bit sick, Mark, and I've got a lot of cursing and screaming to get through this week, so I've got to pace myself with my voice. Let me make sure I'm writing my notes here and I'm making sense. I don't think I'm disagreeing with you, Mark. And what I have been trying to say, and I'm happy to report, Michael, that our new political action committee here in Florida, which is only a few weeks old, and Mark, I need to talk to you offline. Mark, I need to talk to you offline. SOSS, Save Our Sunshine State. We're only a few weeks in, Michael, and we've already started getting national press coverage. State coverage, local coverage, national press coverage, more national press coverage is in the works. And I'm going to tell you, Mark, two primary reasons why I believe that is. It's not because of Rich. It has nothing to do with me. No one cares about me, as they should not. There's two primary reasons for it, Mark. The first reason, and I'll get to each of these. The first reason is that we are talking about issues that are found on planet Earth in the adult world. And second, it's because we have made it very clear in our public messaging, in our identity, our persona, and our branding, that we are not a friend to any politician or political party. If you want a friend, you got to go adopt a dog. And if you want acceptance, you got to go join a cult. So the first part of it, Mark, and Larkin, and this is a question that I'll ask. I had a conversation this morning with someone where I asked them this. I said, right now in the United States, there are approximately 275, 280 million Americans, Michael, who are age 18 and over. Okay, the census, when it finally is coming out, we'll know exactly the number, but it's in that range, 275, 280 million Americans. How many, Mark, of the 280 million Americans woke up this morning, and before their feet hit the floor from the bed, they said, I really can't wait to see and read about the January 6th Congressional Commission and investigation? How many really said that was their first thought when they hit the floor today? Now, if you exempt the rabid side of the party of Joe Biden, who might want that, Larkin, when you exempt that rabid part of that segment, there are so few Americans whose feet hit the floor today worrying about it that it's statistically negligible, Michael. So here on planet Earth, in the adult world, before our feet hit the floor, what did we worry about, Michael? Well, if we have a family, we worried about our children's education. If we have a business, we worried about making a living that day, right? Ideally, being in the positive that day. If we're a working family, we worried about getting to our job and performing and our benefits and all of that. And if you're a senior citizen, you worried about the fact that in lots of parts of America, prices are surging past the normal cost of living increases that we see usually every year, Michael. Mm-hmm. Which is particularly onerous for those on a fixed budget.
But the president told me it was only temporary. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to break
it. That's okay. It's only temporary, said nobody who didn't eat that day. I'm only temporarily hungry. I only temporarily don't have gas in my car, Michael. So how many Americans out of the 275, 280 million woke up today, Mark, woke up, hit the floor and said, man, I wonder what's going on. I wonder what's going on with the Proud Boys. How many do you think really said it? So the point, Michael, is this. Politicians and the press and social media manufacture realities that aren't real here in adult world. Okay? They're manufactured. Because Mark, Michael, Henry, Larkin, other listeners out there, you know what I am saying is accurate. You woke up today and worried about the issues and the concerns in the adult world and our own lives, right or wrong?
Right, right.
Okay, so when everyone says to me down here, Larkin, they say, and I alluded to this last week, and I think it's an important point to flesh out the story. When I had a Republican-minded voter in Florida say to me a couple weeks ago, I think it's great, Rich, what you're doing with Save Our Sunshine State. I'm very, very, very concerned and nervous about my daughter's future. But I got a lot going on in my life right now, so can't contribute, Mark, can't volunteer, can't do anything. So I asked him a question. I said, so you just told me you're nervous about your daughter's future, but that you're not actually willing to do anything. Would you tell your daughter that? Would you sit your daughter down, look her in the eye, and say, well, honey, daddy really wanted to fight for you, but daddy decided he didn't want to get his ass off the couch or put his hand in his pocket. Would you tell your own daughter that? I asked him that question, Mark. Do you know what he said? No, I wouldn't tell her that. So then I asked him, so why do you tell it to me? Why do you talk to me like that? Like you're going to get acceptance from me. You need to join a cult if you want acceptance. So I told him, don't be just another American who rah-rahs for freedom and rah-rahs for the Constitution and rah-rahs for our rights and rah-rahs for this and that, but you're unwilling to do anything about it because you just want someone else to do it.
Well said, Rich. Wow.
If you're looking for that kind of organization where you bull stuff, it almost came out. You don't need to censor it at the station. I caught myself. If you give me that bull stuff about this and that and the James Madison and Thomas Jefferson and you're unwilling to do anything, put your hand in your pocket, I am not interested in your Jeremiads and Lamentations. Take them elsewhere.
Now, Rich, I want to ask you something about Save Our Sunshine State. Give me two of the most important things you're focusing on right now.
Safety and security, school choice, accommodations for our senior citizens, keeping our state affordable, having us be a pro-growth, pro-business state, but also outnumbering in our elections, Michael. I know you asked for two. I'm giving you like 20.
That's great.
But also outnumbering in our elections all of those who will make our state unaffordable, unsafe, and unfree. Me and my wife were joking about this because I was quoted in CBS locally. We are the reporter who did a very good job, FYI, I will say. He asked me, he said, but Rick, that doesn't sound very welcoming. I said, no, we're a very welcoming organization. I said, if you're coming here and you're going to support affordable policies that make us safe and secure, that keep our freedoms from being infringed by the government, you're welcome. We're happy to have you. Welcome to Florida. But if you come here to try to turn us into New York, Chicago, and San Francisco, we're going to outnumber you in our elections and in involvement in our communities. So you're welcome, but if you come here and try to change us, we're just going to conquer you. I think that's a pretty welcoming message.
I think that's a very good message, Rich.
That's pretty welcoming.
And that's something that should be something that should be part of every state. Absolutely.
Michael, if everyone out there who's asking, and again, at the risk of going in a million directions, everybody has a narrative, everybody has a point, everybody has a case they make. The case that I am going to make, both to Florida and to the country, is that if you want to save America, say, how do we save America? The way you save America is you save the state you live in. Because our country is not a democracy. Any Republican, there should be a constitutional amendment that any Republican who refers to America as a democracy is immediately expelled out of his position in Congress. Immediate expulsion. Immediate, if you call us a democracy. We are not a democracy. We are a constitutional republic comprised of sovereign states. You want to save the republic, you have to save the state that you live in. Save the state that you live in, and you will start to see everything turn right now in the country as a whole. That's the case I make, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Now that I have to write down seriously. That was one outrageous comment. Rich, for posterity, would you repeat that?
Our country is not a democracy. Our country is a republic comprised of sovereign individual states. That is what the United States is. You're not a democracy where we have a bunch of Socratic dialogues and talk about democracy as a Grecian pursuit of august Jeffersonian erudition. No, that's not what we are. It's not who we are. We're a constitutional republic comprised of individual sovereign states.
You're right.
That is who we are.
We are
that
the United are. States, not the divided and states somebody, of America.
Somebody deciding, Michael, just because somebody or some group decides that they don't like that mark doesn't make it any less accurate. You're objecting to it doesn't make it any less accurate. If you want to take issue with it, well, you could go talk to Tommy Jefferson and Jimmy Madison and Jack Adams at the pearly gates when you meet them, assuming you get to the pearly gates. You could bring it up then. Denying all that, Larkin, doesn't make it any less accurate. That's who this country is. That is how we were founded. We were not founded as a simple majority democracy because there is not a singular single majority democracy in the history of mankind that didn't commit suicide in the end. Not one. And a mile away from where you're sitting, Michael, that was deliberated and debated for months. After 10 years later, after the American Revolution ended, even though technically it really ended in 1783, but after our Declaration of Independence, those guys debated for about 10 years through the Federalist Papers and the first Articles of Confederation. What kind of country are we going to have? Are we going to be Athens?
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to be Rome? Or are we going to be a place where we have a federal government, but we also have state sovereignty, and those states control their destiny? That is the country we live in. But Larkin, ask Larkin this. Larkin, you go walk up and down your street, Henry, Mark, Michael, me, all of us, listeners. Go walk up and down your street and go talk to a person on the street. Ask them, hey, you know we're a constitutional republic comprised of individual sovereign states? They'll look at you like you just landed in a flying saucer and exited forgetting to put your pants on. That's the look you'll get.
That's exactly right.
That's the look you'll get, and that's a problem. But what's the solution? Forget the problem. Everyone knows the damn problem, Larkin. What's the solution? Well, the solution is better go save your state. How do you do that? I don't know. What are you doing as a voter? What's Rich doing? What's Mark doing? The guy who says, I'm very worried about my daughter. Well, you're not that worried because you decided to do nothing about it for her. So don't tell me you're worried because now you're doing something that I really hate, which is insulting my intelligence. I'm not of sympathetic ear to somebody's apathy and indifference, Michael. I'm just not. I'm not going to be, and I never will be.
Well, Rich, what you said is so important today because we're lacking this in other states totally. I'll give you a small idea. I did call a person, I don't want to say her last name, but the first name is Nancy. You know who I mean. I did call to complain that there is no national committee, no national committee to keep jobs, promote jobs in the United States of America. It's all goodwill. And this great intern called me and said, these are her words, the Nancy's representatives want to remind the caller that America is a free democratic republic and an open, free and open economy. So when I heard that, I thought, ooh, that's interesting. We are a republic. Okay, that's wonderful. And that's what we are. But we're an open economy. And what are we open to? Allowing all of our stuff to be produced elsewhere? How about an economy for America? See, they use this as a crutch, Larkin. They just say, oh, well, you know, we're a free, open economy. So the hell with the American worker, the hell with the American youth, hell with jobs and schools and job skills. This is the answers that you get. They're real nice answers, but they're just saying, oh, well, we can't change it because we're, an open economy. If a business wants to stay here, they stay here. If they want to go, they go. Hey, woof. But we're not going to, my question to the lovely intern was, what can we do to keep jobs here since there is no national committee? And there was no response. And she had no one, by the way, there was no one that she could refer the question to.
So listen to me carefully, Michael. You got your answer. You got your answer, and it was
right.
A sad answer, and it's a sorry answer, but it is, in fact, the answer.
Right.
We are a free society, and if you, as owner of a business, want to go to China because the labor's cheaper, arrivederci. Don't let the door hit you in the butt.
Okay.
Sorry.
I understand, but Larkin, how do we encourage more people to open more businesses in America? How do we get them? We give them a tax benefit.
No, you turn your back. Oh, God, Michael.
No. You can't.
Turn your back on Washington. They're not going to fix your problems.
No.
Them trying to fix our problems is why we're in the position.
Right. That's why I said we can't depend on Washington. This has got to be done by a national business network. A national business. No, forget about the people in Washington. Every time I've ever contacted them about something that I saw on the debt clock or whatever, their answers are from another place. That's why I don't like all this going on in Washington with this January 6th things. Let them do their reports behind closed doors. And after you have all the facts and figures, make one report. What do we have to eat and drink this every day? And then this one says, give us the final answer, period.
I got the final answer
from Nancy's office. So I know we have to go after America and America's businesses and America's consumers so that we, America's consumers, will make it better for America's businesses. I avoid anything that's foreign made these days.
Okay, that's great. I'm glad to hear that. But listen, let me say this out loud so everybody can hear it very, very carefully. What happened on December, whatever happened that day is deplorable.
Absolutely.
It's not the way we conduct our business, and I think somebody needs to dig it. But I agree with you 100%. We don't have to parade this around to every press organization in the world and put these people on stage. And it's a circus.
Right.
It is a circus.
You know, Larkin, I want to ask you a question.
Why your friend Nancy did it was because this is just another crack to get it a little bit closer to affect the fact Trump will never be able to run again.
That's all. But is that a reason, Larkin, to waste the time of the American people?
No. That's why I was critical of this committee yesterday. It didn't get anything accomplished. And I'm telling you, in the end, it will get nothing accomplished.
Zero.
Nothing will happen.
See, Larkin, that's it. That's why I'm asking, how many adults woke up today and said, can't wait to see the commission investigation? It's probably somewhere between zero and zero. And I'll make one last point, which let me preface by saying I can't exactly prove this case in statement to our listeners. So if you choose to disagree, that's fine, because I can't exactly prove it. But I'm going to say this. I worked as a journalist, Michael, in 2001. I was in New York, not far from New York City in 2001. So I was, you know, pretty close to 9/11 in a lot of ways, okay? Lots of ways. New people who overslept that day, got on a train, Mark, thinking they were going to be fired from their job or to discover that the building didn't exist anymore that they worked in. My perception, Mark, which I cannot prove, is that the press today in America talks more about January 6th, 6 months after, than the press did about 9/11, 6 months later, after 9/11.
Absolutely, Rich.
You're right, Rich.
That's true. They pulled it from
the news. Congress talked less about 9/11, 6 months after the event, than does January 6th.
Well,
so I'll make one comment that's the final comment about January 6th that I'll make right now, because this is another topic. Vaccines in the 2020 election are radioactive topics for Save Our Sunshine State. They have nothing to do with what we're doing. You're not going to get me to engage in them, okay? But I would say this about January 6th. Michael, 99% of the people who went to Washington, D.C. went just to get drunk.
You know what I want to know? Here's the thing.
That's why they went, Michael.
You know, but Rich, as I listened a few minutes of it on the radio today coming down. They gave up some highlights of the hearings. What I want to know in the end, this is what I have to know, and I think every American should know, is who planned to get all these various people with all their, you know, their gear and all there? That didn't happen overnight. A lot of those people were supposed to have come from states from far, far away. That didn't happen in just 4 or 6 hours.
Michael,
somebody planned this event.
Who was it? Washington went to get drunk.
Okay.
100%.
Who invited them to come and get drunk?
Michael, 100% of the people who went to Washington had no idea what actually happens on January 6th. Mike Pence doesn't certify anything. Mike Pence is the most glorified, overpaid office manager in the world on January 6th. He doesn't even count the electoral votes. There are clerks in the Senate who do it. Pence just needs to be a warm butt in the seat per the Constitution. That's why they went. Now, the 1% of idiots who decided to go into the Capitol, the press talked about them more than they did the terrorists of 9/11 6 months later. And even though I am not a whataboutism person, because as Larkin said, we indict violence, period, the fact of the matter is the press talked in the last 6 months has talked more about January 6th, Michael, than they have in the last 60 years over the most violent places in America, which are all run by the party of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, FYI.
You know, this was a great broadcast. We're going to have to continue this type of thinking because we can see now that the elected people in Washington are not really in concern for American workers. It has to be groups like us and getting people on like David Muir, praising him for doing what he's doing. Although it's the station policy to give 1 minute to this particular program. Let's do more of those types of things. I urge all of my radio broadcaster friends, which there's about 21 of them that repeat my commentary, and I thank them, and I welcome all of their listeners who tune in. Guys, thank you for a great broadcast. Remember, everyone, you can listen to a rebroadcast from the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com a little later this afternoon, and you can see many of our past broadcasts up there as well. Until this Saturday at 11 or next Wednesday at 11, I wish you and yours the very best. May God bless you, your family, and all of your friends.